everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on Wednesday, July 21st, 2020, midweek edition. Tom, let me ask you, have you ever seen a bicyclist going down a busy street texting?
I don't think so. Well, no, I can't say that I have.
I saw it this morning. On the way into the station on Alvernon, just going along. He had earplugs in. He was doing, you know, listening to his music and texting along on busy Alvernon. Just hard to believe.
I did see a video once of a person walking on a sidewalk texting and walked right into a lamppost.
Oh, jeez. All right, we are 10 and a half years into the radio project. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Sharon, how are you?
I am doing well. And what was your, the storm yesterday? Pretty brilliant down here. Hail, wind. What about you?
Well, we really got nailed. You know, I was watching the end of the Suns game. I think it was about 3 minutes left in the game, and there was a Channel 9. I know, Suns go down. Anyway, the alert came in of a severe thunderstorm warning. This was a little after 8:30, and then a few minutes later, the hail just pounded our place, just going against and high winds and a lot of rain, adding to our unofficial total now of about 5 inches since the summer thunderstorm season began 2.5 weeks ago. Have you had any rain out at your place on the west side?
Yeah, I think I'm ahead of you by about an inch.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that last night?
Cost me a tree.
Oh, no.
It was an older mesquite, but I am grateful for the rain, and as you know, we need it. We've been in a drought, and how we survive as we move forward with all the issues related to water, it's going to be challenging for the region.
Yeah, it is. So. But our immediate concern right now is this COVID-19 surge in Arizona. It looks like cases have been increasing for the fifth consecutive week. Our friend Will Humble, who is now a regular contributor to our program, he's the executive director at the Arizona Public Health Association. He's the former director of the state's Department of Health Services. He was quoted in a piece in the that Dylan Smith and his team put together. It was a reprint from the Arizona Mirror, Dylan's team at Tucson Sentinel. And the quote was, Governor Ducey and the lawmakers have tied the hands of virtually the entire state to the point where nobody is allowed to do virtually anything to slow the spread of COVID-19. Would you disagree? Can Pima County do anything, Sharon Bronson?
I think we can. I think what we certainly can, and as our county administrator sent us a memo today, we can require vaccinations for any new hires. But beyond that, I think it's important that everybody get vaccinated. And he has put this item on the agenda for discussion at our August 16th meeting. But I certainly am going to be pushing for everybody in the county to get vaccinated. We've seen that they've done it in France. We've seen that they've done it in New York. We've seen data that, just in terms of lawsuits, a Texas court has rejected it. Doña Ana Connie in New Mexico has actually, no, they have pressed that everybody gets shots and that they have prevailed in those lawsuits. So, but in the end, I'd rather not be adversarial. The message really is the only path to return to a normal life is to get everybody vaccinated. So I hope we don't have to make it mandatory, but if we're going to get back to a normal or whatever the new normal is, and get the economy back on track, I think that's the way to do it, but that's my view. I don't speak for the majority of the board.
Well, we don't know how the majority of the board will react to this, but if you had your way from your, what you've just told us, mandatory vaccination of all Pima County employees is the way to go. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
That's what you're hearing from me, whether, you know, how we do that legally, how we thread that needle. That will be a discussion on the agenda for our meeting on August 16th. But again, as I said, if we want to get back to some new normal where we restore the economy, get things moving, I think that's the way to do it. As you already know, Bill, Banner Health has done that. As have many hospitals. So, I think that's our clear path forward.
And Banner said they will move forward with that. And one of the things I think they were holding back on is this, and it is expected to change right now, the COVID-19 vaccine is what they call provisional. That's going to change, I understand, very quickly. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, it is.
Let me ask you, and I know there are the certain health requirements that what they call HIPAA. Do you have just a feel for how many? I don't know what your workforce is in Pima County. I know it's several thousand, maybe more than that, right? A lot of people.
Well, like almost 8,000.
Yeah. Oh, whoa! Uh-huh. Okay, 8,000. Uh-huh. Any idea what kind of a handle do you have on? Maybe you could take a guess. How many you think have been fully vaccinated in Pima County?
Well, again, HIPAA rules, but we know just from our data that the health department is sharing 70% of Pima County has been vaccinated. I think our workforce is probably greater than that, but again, with the HIPAA rules, we're not going to, we can't disclose, nor should we. But I've talked to Pima County employees. They've been vaccinated. And all of those who haven't, I just say, let's do it. If you want to get back to a new normal, want to get the economy growing, that's the way to do it. So rather than be adversarial, step up to the plate and get it done.
Let's talk about the mask requirement. A couple of weeks ago, Pima County dropped the emergency order concerning masks. What is and I keep hearing this conflicting information, did the governor drop all of his emergency mandates?
He dropped most of them. But again, when we voted on that issue a couple of weeks ago, that was at the recommendation of our health department and the deputy county administrator, Dr. Francisco Garcia. We dropped that, but if we have issues with the Delta variant, we can put that mask ordinance back on the agenda within 24 hours and adopt it. But that's not what we're seeing at hospitals right now, but it is certainly an option we have. And should it become a health concern, I do believe the majority of the board would adopt that. But again, I only speak for myself.
All right, let's pause right here. Pima County Supervisors Chair Sharon Bronson with us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will pause on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Back with Sharon Bronson right after we take the break.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Sharon Bronson is with us, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And if you missed the beginning of our interview, Supervisor Bronson said, in her opinion, she would like to see COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for all Pima County employees. This will be discussed coming up in the, I believe she said the August 16th meeting. Is that right, Supervisor Bronson?
Yes, it is.
August 16th meeting. And by that time, you may be readdressing also the COVID-19 mask restrictions. However, as you pointed out, that could be put together, reinstituted within, I think you said, 24 hours.
If it's an emergency issue, I don't think we're going to go there. I don't think we're going to see that surge at this point. As you know, what we're seeing, the hospitals are not at capacity. the individuals who are in there with COVID are the ones who have not been vaccinated. And most of that is probably related, although we don't have all the information, is most likely related to the Delta variant. But again, if this surges, we will react, and we will react swiftly. It's a matter of public health, and that's our responsibility, bottom line.
Is it easy to get a shot in any county? Do you have kind of walk-in facilities available now for people to get a shot?
We do, and I again, as this moves forward, as we navigate this, we are trying, and I think we've done an amazing job of getting people who didn't necessarily have access because of where they lived. We've gotten out to them, but our county employees have access, and they will continue to have access should they want the vaccine. And again, I'm urging them to do it. It's what you need to do. It's how we get our economy back on track. And I am hopeful that we'll get a great response.
Let's now talk to a couple of, I think we can work this in the remaining time. There's two issues I want to address with you. The RTA, and I also want to address the Tucson water situation with the differential water rates. By the way, we will have Tom Muir from the city. He was the director of Tucson Water. He's now the assistant city manager, but he's kind of shepherding, quarterbacking this whole effort to increase the water rates for the people who live in unincorporated Pima County. Sharon Bronson, let me ask you, if there was to be a legal action taken by Pima County toward the city over this, do you think the county stands pretty good in that regard?
Yes.
Why?
Short answer.
Why?
I don't know. How long have you... No, I've been here since the early 70s. How long have you lived where you are?
We came January of 88.
No, the reality is we were all on Tucson Water.
Right.
And before you moved here, there was something that was called MUM, Metropolitan User. No, it was Metropolitan User Utility. It was water and sewer combined for everybody in the region, meaning mm-hmm. Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
Metropolitan Utility Management. And all of us were on that. And when the county and the city split off, we, unfortunately, the county got the bad end of the deal. We got the sewer, which is very expensive. The city got the water. But those individuals who were on that utility at that time should be exempt from this, I'm sure, legally. But beyond that, the issues get more complicated. But the equity piece and what I honestly am... I don't understand is that the city is doing this because they want incorporation. They want to stop the water deficit, but they don't want a audit of cost of service. Why not? That's troubling. But again, we all want the same goals. I agree. We've got to stop draining our water resources. But I think that what the city is asking will have the opposite effect. It's not going to encourage incorporation, at least into the city. But again, I don't want to, you know, it's not a time for this divisiveness. It's a time for conversation. And we need to have those conversations. We're not having them now.
You've been around quite a while in Pima County government. Have you seen, this is kind of a very, one of the low points, isn't it, between city and county relations right now?
Let me decline to answer that. Sorry. I really want us, you know, it's important for the region to move forward in a way that benefits everybody. And my concern is that the city's reason for adopting these rates will not accomplish their goals. So discussion would be appreciated, but we haven't had that yet.
With the RTA, the renewal that is being discussed right now, we've had a couple of, we had Rex Scott on, we had Dr. Hines, two of your colleagues on the board, and we were talking about regionalism. And I think both of them agreed that, that regionalism is the way to go when it comes to the next plan, what they call RTA Next. So I think the question is, should it be, the city would like to see more weight given to the fact that they're the largest entity of the RTA board members. Some of your thoughts, please, about the RTA renewal.
You know, we don't have to be bullies. The county is a big player. The city is a big player. But this is regional. And what I would ask the city as they move forward, and whether or not they want to be part of RTA Next, is that they submit their plan to RTA. What do they want to do and accomplish with RTA Next? They haven't. They're the only entity in the region that hasn't. So it's perplexing that they have chose not to disclose. I just hope that they will, and that they will do that soon. As you know, the former mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, was the one pushing that agenda, trying to get everybody on board to talk about where we go next. Everybody else has done that, submitted their plans. The city is, or hasn't yet, and that's unfortunate, I think.
What was the, when were the other entities, they've been submitting these all along, or is there a deadline? Or
no, I mean, I don't know that there's a deadline, but they were submitted, most of us, over a year ago. So,
well, so you're saying that the RTA Next needs to hear what the city wants. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely. I mean, how do you make a determination until every entity weighs in and we can have the conversation begin? The city has yet to weigh in. I'm sure they will eventually, but I'm just perplexed as to why they haven't at this point in time.
Well,
because
I think,
I said, Mayor Rothschild, that was one of his priorities.
I think one thing that has emerged, that a component of RTA Next must contain maintenance. Is that kind of what you're feeling too?
Oh, there's no question. As we look at how the HERP revenues are distributed and how cities and counties have been stripped of the normal monies they would receive, maintenance has to be a real part of this. I don't know how else. If you're going to have economic development, you got to fix the roads. You know, and I know that was Supervisor Christie's major talking point, and that's one that I agree with him on.
All right, Sharon Bronson, we will let you go to go back to assess the storm damage. on your property. There's a lot of damage. I noticed just driving in that hotel that is at the corner of Alvernon and Speedway. I think it's called Varsity Inn, maybe. I'm not exactly
sure. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, what the name is. A huge tree is down over there, and Reed Park has had some big trees. This has been, I know we need the rain, but maybe the component of the violence associated with it, if we could lessen that a bit, I'd be happy. All right. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to bring us to the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, is coming up next. Maybe he can clear up this whole idea. What's going on with this quarantine policies? Are they lawful for school districts? There's just all sorts of mixed messages from the governor's office. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. I am so happy with the rain like I pointed out with Sharon Bronson, I could do without some of the violence that's been associated with it. But I know my friends over at Green Things, Jan and Jack, the owners, just so delighted to have that moisture on their 13-acre site, which is chocked full of beautiful things. So this is the time, if you want some color now in the backyard, some new plants, go by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Brandy Fenton Park. And when you're over there, stop by Zocalo Village. I think you'll be very impressed with the merchandise that they have over in the village with the beautiful things from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So we have two websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me in studio for his monthly visit to the program is Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He's also a former Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Hendricks was recently elected, I believe, Vice Chair of the Interfaith Community Services. This is a Tucson-based organization comprised of over 120 faith communities dedicated to helping people in crisis by providing assistance with food, housing, employment, and health care. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. I'm enjoying the weather, too.
Yep, are you getting quite a bit of rain?
We had a big storm last night.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Yes, kind of a surprise.
Yeah, it just blew in. I got the warning like a lot of people. We were watching the end of the Phoenix Suns game with Milwaukee, and that came on the TV that there was a severe thunderstorm warning.
Right.
And within minutes at our place after that, appearing on the screen, we were just hammered with high winds, and it must have been, I'd say, like maybe pea size hail.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was,
it didn't last very long.
No, and this was an odd thing that it blew through so fast that when it ended, it was as quiet,
right?
And there was the moon,
right? But it was nice to see that the ground was soaked.
Oh.
You know, I think the previous storm, you know, we got some saturation. This one, I think, you know, is going to help. I already noticed that some of our cacti are starting to come back to their regular shape.
They are now rejuvenated. Dr. Hendricks, can you clarify? It seems like the governor's office has been saying one thing about whether or not school districts can enforce a quarantine if students are exposed to COVID. Now we see Dr. Crist, the latest, saying that schools should be able to quarantine. What are you hearing?
Well, it shouldn't be that complicated. It really shouldn't. If we want to go back to July 1, the legislature approved a law which they attached to the budget, their budget bill. It's a very common thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And the bill said this, and I quote, "Schools may not require the use of face coverings by students or staff during school hours or on school property." So that's really clear. I mean, whether you're a school district that agrees with that or not, that's clear that masks cannot be mandatory. The other provision says that schools cannot require students or staff to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's also clear, mm-hmm. whether you agree with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the bill relates to. Mm-hmm. There is no discussion to quarantine mm-hmm. at all mm-hmm. in that bill. And so I think it was quite a surprise when the governor, through his representative, you know, made the statement that school districts are not allowed to quarantine students. And, you know, this came about in kind of a strange way. I'm not aware of many occasions where the governor's office has singled out individual school districts.
And it was Catalina Foothills.
Right, and Peoria.
And Peoria, those two districts were singled out.
Essentially scolded for a position that they've taken on quarantining. You know, in one case, Peoria was 10-day quarantine. Mm-hmm. Catalina Foothills is 14-day quarantine. And all the position, the district position is that if you're a student that has not been vaccinated,
right,
and who could possibly have made contact with someone who had COVID, mm-hmm. then you need to stay at home. Now, mm-hmm. the district is still making accommodation for those students. In other words, you know, they're not saying, you know, stay at home and we're not going to provide you any support or mm-hmm. facilities, because mm-hmm. there are other mechanisms in place mm-hmm. to provide instruction for that period of time. But, mm-hmm. you know, this really came, you know, out of, you know, no notice whatsoever to these districts. And the other interesting thing is that there are many, many other districts across the state mm-hmm. that have the same position mm-hmm. and who have enacted the same policy.
In your many years in the education business, have you ever heard of the governor singling out a school district for something like that?
I have not. I have not. And actually, you know, the initial contact came from someone who, you know, didn't seem to be very familiar with anybody on the governor's staff, but obviously, this person is speaking the voice of the governor, mm-hmm. and it was a surprise. And you know, the whole issue of whether students wear masks or not, you know, as an Arizona mandate, is also interesting, because there are only three states in the nation who have legislatively enacted that requirement.
Don't tell me we're one of the three.
We are one of the three. Here's the other two.
Yeah, South Dakota?
No, Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Okay.
And by the way, I heard on the radio this morning that Arkansas has one of the largest spikes of COVID cases mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the country. Mm-hmm. And so we've got these three states who have mandated legislatively. Now, that's not, there are other states who have made recommendations, but mm-hmm. these states have legislatively mandated that no mask can be required.
Now can you? They cannot be required. Can a district say that we recommend wearing masks, or are masks just not to be worn?
I think a district can, in spirit, recommend it, but not require it. And for example, you know, Vail School District opened this past week, and I'm told there are many, many students who are coming to school wearing masks because that's a preference of their parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, particularly with the new spread of the COVID Delta, you know, people are getting more cautious. And so a district can't say, and is not going to say, you can't wear one, but mm-hmm. they can't require mm-hmm. that a person wear one. In fact, in contrast to that, let's look at California.
Right.
That has statewide has said all students in a K-12 environment must wear a mask in the school, in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Completely opposite situation. I mean, diametrically opposed, you know, situations. And then we have the American Pediatric Association mm-hmm. who last week said students should be wearing masks. So, and as you mentioned, you know, the article in this morning's paper in the Star mm-hmm. from Dr. Christ, who's, you know, supporting the quarantine, the right for quarantine of the districts, but is also suggesting that, you know, parents need to make a decision about mask wearing.
And she did not address directly what the aide that started all of this in Ducey's office said.
She didn't. No, I thought she was very cautious.
Yeah.
You know, about that. I mean, I think districts understand, even though they might not like, they understand the mask, anti-mask mandate, and they understand the issue about vaccinations. And they don't have to agree upon it, but, you know, they're going to be civilly obedient. They're going to follow that. But they're also going to listen to the parents in their community And if the parents want their children to wear masks, they're gonna allow that to happen.
All right, we're gonna pause right here with Dr. Robert Hendricks. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back. 12:46 on the afternoon on what could be another rainy evening tonight. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster Midweek Edition, and so much to cover here with Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor, as we've been talking in the first segment about all of this about quarantine and masks. And now parents are really, some of them are saying, hey, look, there should be, and I guess there is, Bob Hendricks, a parent's bill of rights.
There is. And of course, these people are in the governor's corner. Many of them, they're voting what's called the Parents' Bill of Rights, which is a is gaining some movement. You know, I think probably because of the COVID situation, you know, a lot of people feel like they've been tread upon, and they want to make an effort to get back into what they believe are their entitlements as parents. And so this Bill of Rights basically says, and they're proposing that they have a fundamental right to education and that schools cannot bar their children from attending. for whatever reason. And so they feel that school districts have a right to provide assistance. And, you know, the opposite to that argument is that school districts are providing that assistance. I don't know of any district that is not made some provision for a multitude of ways to deliver instruction to students. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the pandemic and with the increasing issues, virtual school, which we thought might go away, mm-hmm. is still on the table. And I think there's still an opportunity for parents to use that as an option if they want.
Virtual school is part of the menu now, is it? Is it going to become permanent, do you think, or as part
of it? I think there's always going to be that option in the toolkit.
All right.
And, you know, it's not an inexpensive thing for school districts to try to maintain, unless you're a large district and you have that infrastructure for that. But if you're a small district, to try to staff that and provide it for a small number of students is going to be difficult. But I think districts, you know, are going to make that accommodation.
All right. Hold your next thought there, because
sure.
I want to talk about summer school and how all that has gone. But right now, I want to talk about our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have gotten a lot of rain, as we have. So here's the good news. The three-hour drive from Tucson over to Silver City is going to be very pleasant, very green up at Silver City for sure, up at that 5,000 to 7,000 foot level. Very pleasant temperatures. In fact, overnight lows will be in the upper 50s over in Silver City. Why not start your planning right now? Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find out about great places to stay and so many opportunities to, as they say, recreate. All right, we continue now with Dr. Robert Hendricks. There was a big effort, at least in the Tucson Unified, to have summer school available to really any student that wanted it. The
yes.
parents could do that. I wonder if we're going to be catching up in many regards to on the academic side to what many thought was pretty much a lost year.
Well, I think anecdotally, we do believe it was a lost year.
Yeah.
And I think anybody... if you're a parent at home and you're looking at your children and seeing, you know, just what their general progress is, you know that that they are bound to have suffered. We don't have a lot of good concrete evidence, you know, of what the progress or the lack of progress is. You know, standardized tests, and we've talked about this before, has always been sort of the standard where we have looked at, you know, how are students progressing?
Sure.
Are they moving forward? Are they behind?
Did that go away in the COVID year, standardized testing?
It did. It did.
So we had really no gauge.
Well, no, there's very little gauge, very little gauge. And I think people were waiting for President Biden to weigh in on, you know, what role is the federal government going to take in standardized tests, which is a huge... I mean, it's one of the things the federal government does do, and why that's so important to school districts is that there are federal dollars mm-hmm. attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden has taken really sort of the soft course of action on this, and he's basically given school districts and states the opportunity to either participate or cut back on the number of tests or not even test at all.
So the ball was coming. The ball was kicked back to the states.
It was, and the thing that I think states were paying attention to is the whether the federal government would give them a waiver, because you know the previous administration under Trump said everyone will be tested,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
there will be consequences if you don't, and
mm-hmm.
those consequences are you're going to get less federal dollars.
Right.
Well, that waiver has been granted. It was granted to Arizona for this past spring. Arizona did not have to pay the consequences. And it's not that Arizona didn't try, but it was very difficult, particularly for the students that were virtually learning,
mm-hmm.
to bring them into any environment where they could test. they just didn't come.
So we don't know how they did really in the virtual environment.
No, well, one gauge is the state of Texas, which kind of rolled along and still tested. And even though they in the past years they've had about a 95% participation, this past year they had 85%.
Mm-hmm.
So we have at least some data to look at. And
how
we
did
know
they, how'd they do in Texas?
They did not do well. Their reading scores, went to the level where they were at about 2017.
Oh, boy.
But their math scores plummeted to a point where they were in 2013.
Seven or eight-year setback.
Exactly. And we had an additional 800,000 students in Texas who are well below grade level in math.
Boy.
And so this is really, really difficult, but not a surprising thing. And so, to answer your question about summer school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that it helped. But let's remember, summer school is just a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Now, it does have the advantage of a lot of small individualized instruction, mm-hmm. which maybe is a benefit to some students. But again, here's the bottom line. Among the students who scored in the achievement tests, those who spent time learning in person did better than those students learning virtually. And not surprising, the setbacks were largest among those low-income families and those with families of color.
Mm.
And so, and I don't know if you've seen the latest commercial.
Mm.
I saw it the other night about the things students can gain from in-person learning versus being at home. The social aspects
right,
of it.
Right.
The whole
sure.
aspect of cooperative learning and sharing and so forth. And I don't know who's running this, but it does suggest to people that let's get students back into the classroom as soon as we possibly can. And if parents want them to wear masks, by all means, encourage them to do so.
Okay, we're about out of time. So it's going to be interesting to see how many students at Tucson Unified will be choosing, the parents will choose to stay in the virtual environment.
For sure.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your visit with us in August, which traditionally is a back-to-school month.
Yes.
Now, when I was growing up in the Midwest, September, of course, was after Labor Day. But
Labor Day.
Out here in the West, it's much earlier.
Yeah, and back east, a lot of chambers of commerce, particularly with the beach communities,
right.
wanted that Labor Day
yes.
to be the
still after
the turning
Labor
point.
Day. All
That's
right.
been the tradition.
There you go.
Yes.
We're going to wrap it up. That's
yep.
it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Robert Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, hope you have a great afternoon. And we've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money. It's coming up next on KVOI.